Okay, everyone. New week. We're up to Parshas Matos and Maaseh. We finish Sefer Bamidbar this upcoming week. We've double Parsha this week. It's a lot. It's quite a long stretch. That means. So we'll have two separate shurim for that. Interesting to note that this the fact that when Matos and Maaseh are read together, it is the longest. It will have the longest Kriyas HaTorah the entire year, as both of them combined together. When we read both of them on the same Shabbos, it comes out to over 200 psukim. So that's just an interesting fact. This learning should learn as schus for Fushlema, for myself actually. For those who weren't listening last week. I mentioned that unfortunately I had a little bit of an accident. I have a pretty bad ankle injury. Baruch Hashem is feeling a little bit better, but if you have those who can have me in mind in their tefillos, Kiva Ben Chana Rochel, it would be much appreciated. Okay, so Parshas Matos. The first idea we want to speak about appears right away in the beginning of Matos. Pasuk says, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Beis, opening up the Parsha, Vayedaber Moshe El Rashei HaMatos Levnei Yisrael Lemor Zeh HaDavar Asher Tzivah Hashem. So Moshe spoke to the heads of each Shevet, telling them that this is a thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them. And what exactly is this thing? This thing we're talking about is Nedarim, right? We're starting to speak about the halachos of Nedarim. The Nedarim is a very, very complex sugya. Has many different halachos. Has its own masechta and shas and seder nashim. Many different halachos. Many things apply regarding the sugyas of Nedarim. It appears in the Yad HaChazaka of the Rambam in I believe in Hafla. There's many different sugyas. When people talk about Nedarim, they learn Nedarim. They also learn Shavuos, the third paragraph of Shavuos. Also, it's a major chilukim between Nedarim and Shavuos. That's actually one of the first Gemaras in Nedarim and Daf Beis and Mid Beis. It speaks about the chiluk between an Isser Gavra versus an Isser Cheftza. Right, when we speak about Gavra and Cheftza in the world of learning, we think of Lomdus, we think of Reb Chaim in the 19th century, 20th century. But actually, the idea of the chiluk between Gavra and Cheftza is much more older than that. It actually appears in Shas. So, anyways, so we said that the din of Nedarim was told exclusively to the Rashi Matos, the heads of the tribe by Moshe Rabbeinu. So one can ask. So you know, this obviously this halacha is supposed to be applied. I mean, this halacha applies to all of Klal Yisrael. So why is Moshe telling only the Rashi Matos and not to the rest of Bnei Yisrael? So the Ramban explains that Nedarim, the world of Nedarim, the halachas of Nedarim is very, very intense and very, very chamor. And there's a certain chash that they were afraid that if it was broadcasted and it was told to the masses all at once, people would take it very, very lightly. They would understand that, you know, they would think it's just, you know, one of these regular, you know, general assembly meetings, as some people might say. Right, they would learn about all these loopholes of Hataras Nedarim being made for your Nedarim, and then they wouldn't realize that when someone takes a nether, when someone takes a vow, there's something A, very holy going on, and B, something very, very serious that's going on. And so in order really to get the message across, Moshe had to first convene with quote unquote the cabinet, meaning all the heads of each tribe, and Moshe gave over to them the halachos and the dinim of Nedarim. And Moshe, again, being that he was a great leader, he was the fact that he was on a different level wasn't so easy for him to relate to Klal. So again to a certain extent he was great, but in this area the Ramban explains that it would have been much preferable if each head of each tribe were to understand the halachos and to find out the halachos of Moshe Rabbeinu and then convey those messages personally to each tribe. I guess the tribes would take it more seriously if it came from someone who was within, I guess, their local council, and it came from someone within. The Chasam Sofer though offers another mahalach regarding the chashivas of Nedarim, and he explains as follows: that the reason why the halachos of Nedarim were only Moshe told only the heads of the tribes and not Bnei Yisrael as a whole, because he explains that it was very, very important for the heads of the tribes to know the halachos of Nedarim. And he quotes a story in Nach and also Medrash Rabbah and Brachos that speaks about this. There's a famous maisa between Yiftach and Pinchas. Yiftach, before he went out to war, he took a certain neder that if you come back. I'm not holding so a lot of Nach, but I was looking a little bit in the story that pretty much the main part of the story is that he took a certain neder that if you come back you'd bring a carbon after the war, and he was very, very, and he did it in a very, very quick manner, and he didn't have that much das, and he was just taking the nether. He took another that anyways that he would bring a carbon right after the war. But what happened after the war? They won. But he ended up actually stopping off. He stopped off to visit his daughter before he brought the carbon. And what exactly happened because of this? His daughter actually ended up dying, and Pinchas also lost his koach of Ruach HaKodesh. It's brought down the Medrash Rabbah. So this is something very, very intense. That again, Pinchas really should have stopped him and warned him and explained to him what the halal severity of this, and Yiftach shouldn't have been so quick to take these nedarim. So we clearly see here again that how nedarim is a very, very serious concept, and if it's taken lightly, it could have serious ramifications. And on a general note, it can be applied to us that in general, there's a certain inyan of zahiris regarding all the halachos, and all of the mitzvos that sometimes there's certain halachos and mitzvos, but a lot of times people have certain egos and they feel about the kavod and whatever, but it's important for a person to put his own kavod to the side many times and to focus on that being that again that person's place in this world to be mekayim mitzvos, and that's really the ikar, being mekayim mitzvos again in the best way possible, in the most appropriate way possible, and it's very, very important to understand that both in terms of the halachos of Nedarim and even many, and again this can even be applied in many other halachos regarding the inyan of zahiris. So ad kan idea number one. Idea number two, we find a little bit later in the parsha, Shevet Reuven and Gad, they want to live in the Yarden. They want to live near the Yarden by the East Bank. So Moshe gives them a proposal that if they'll fight in a certain area, they'll be able to do it. And if they don't, they won't be able to live there. And we know famously that this story about Reuven, Gad, and also half of Shevet Menashe that this story in the Pesukim is actually the primary source of sugyas and shas regarding tnayim, regarding people that make stipulations. And the most famous halacha, one of the most famous halachas regarding a tnai is that it needs to be a tnai kafel. There's a double tnai, meaning if you do this, X will happen. If you don't do this, then Y will happen, or X will not happen. I mean, it's supposed to work both ways. Those sugyas of tnai and tnai kafel appear most famously in the beginning of the third parak in Kiddushin, around the Samach in Kiddushin. But it's many different halachos. But anyways, how is this relevant to us? The way exactly it works is that again. So it was Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Menashe. But interestingly to note that really it was only Reuven and Gad that wanted to live there. So why was Moshe Mechalek, and why did he bring over, why did he include also part of the deal half of Menashe? Well, first of all, what does Menashe have to do with this? And second of all, why did he split Menashe into two? So what exactly is Pshat? So one Pshat that I saw is brought down in the Degel Machne Ephraim. And sorry, again, before we say the Peshatim, I just want to reiterate the question again. Again, we're asking within, why did Moshe A split up Sheva Menashe? Again, after all, they didn't really request. They didn't request to do this. They wanted no part of this. And again, B, why Dafka Menashe? Okay, so now. So one shot that I saw was brought down by the Degel Machne Ephraim. The Degel Machne Ephraim explains as follows, that it all has to do with the koach of hashba, regarding the strength and the ability of influence and the power of influence. Moshe at that time was very, very concerned that there was a certain suspicion that arose that all of a sudden God and Reuven, they wanted to be segregated, they wanted to live separate. And Moshe was very, very concerned that if Moshe would just let them live on the East Bank, slowly they would separate and from Bnei Yisrael. So what exactly, they wouldn't attend any of the gatherings, they wouldn't integrate it all with the rest of Bnei Yisrael. So what did he do? Ended up splitting Menashe. And Menashe ended up staying with them. And he split half of Menashe, because why? Because what's the pshat? Because they realized, because Moshe realized that if Menashe was on one side, and the other, and half of Menashe was on one side, and the other half of Menashe was on the other side, they would have to visit each other. And the goal was that they wanted, that Moshe knew that Shevet Menashe would still be integrated, they would visit each other, they would connect with each other. And the goal was that Shevet Menashe was supposed to have a certain hashpa on Reuven and God, that they too also, even though it's not within their own shevet, is living on the other side of Eretz Yisrael, but other shvatim, which are also ki'ilu brothers, right? We say, achinu kol beis Yisrael. The goal was that they should also continue to visit and connect with the rest of the shvatim of Klal Yisrael. The Netziv, right? Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, in his Sefer Chumash HaMikdavar, he was, right, the former Rosh Hashiva of the famous Valojin Yeshiva, explains as follows, a similar but slightly different pshat. He says that the truth is, Moshe sent Anshe Menashe, half the Menashe, why? To be mechazik, the ruchnis of God Reuven. And Moshe, again, wasn't concerned about the fact that Bnei Yisrael, the fact that God Reuven were physically trying to break off, but rather Moshe was concerned that Reuven and God, those two shvatim were spiritually heading to sort of some type of decline. And in order to prevent that, he sent half of Menashe and Asher to live with them, as sort of some type of like to be some type of like spiritual advisor. And why? Because the Netziv explains that at that time there were no real manhigim or any in either Shevet Reuven or Shevet Gad, and also they didn't really have any mashpiyim. They didn't have anyone who was mashpi on them. So rather, what did Moshe do? He ended up sending a Menashe who had proper leaders and people that would have positive influence on them in order to live with them. And this is also just such a yesod, right? The regarding the importance of location and environment. That again, if a person is looking to grow and a person is looking to grow right in a positive way, in a productive way, it's very, very important for him to put himself in proper situations, put himself in associate himself with proper crowds, and to situate himself in proper locations, right? They speak about this all the time in terms of where a person should choose to live, in terms of choosing a specific community. A person has to do a lot of establishment and research to figure out what is the best community that's going to have the most positive hashpa on him and his family and their growth and their avodas Hashem. You find that right one area in communities in terms of where to live. Another area in terms of education. Where to send your kids to school? Where should a person go learn yeshiva? What type of yeshiva person should learn it? Where should a person go to camp in the summer? What type, where a person is going to work? Again, all these things regarding making all these decisions in terms of situating oneself in a certain group, in a certain community, a certain society, a certain sect, A person needs to make certain cheshbonos. So one of those cheshbonos needs to be that this environment and with this type of crowd that I'm putting myself in, is this something that's going to have a positive effect on me or a negative effect on me? Is it going to have a positive influence on me, or is it going to have a negative influence on me, on my friends, on my loved ones, my family? And this is such an important yisod. So I've kind of idea number two. Idea number three, and with this we'll finish. We'll finish with this section of Matos. But right. Again, Parshas Matos. We'll have a separate shiur. The final idea of Parshas Matos that I want to speak about appears later in a little bit later in the parsha. Again, if this were to be a single parsha, it would appear in the seventh aliyah. But the fact that it's a double parsha, it appears in the fourth aliyah. The pasuk says in Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Chaf Beis, actually very close to the area of the previous idea which we spoke about regarding the Tanakh Kafel. The pasuk says as follows. Pasuk says, "V'nichbisha ha'aretz l'fnei Hashem v'achar tashuva v'hisem nekiyem Hashem Yisrael v'hisa ha'aretz hazos lachem lachuzal l'fnei Hashem." Right. So the pasuk says, right, that Moshe says that the land that it should be conquered, before Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you should return, and then you'll be able, right, and you should be clean in the in the eyes of Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the eyes of Klal Yisrael, and this land should serve almost as like a heritage. Should serve as like a Yerusha, as an Achuza for you again in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I want to focus again on the Yisod of V'hisem Nekiyem V'Hashem V'Yisrael. Right, the idea that a person needs to be clean in front, you know, cleanliness in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in front of Klal Yisrael. No, I'm not talking about and the Torah is not referring to on a hygiene perspective regarding having a clean shirt and clean pants, clean clothes. A person should smell nice. Rather, what we're talking about on an ethical level, on a moral level, a person needs to be clean. Right, this is the primary source of Nikias, cleanliness. Right, the Mesilas Yesharim dedicates a whole chapter towards this. I remember growing up in high school, I had a 10th grade Rebbe that before every Gemara test he would write on the board v'hisem Nikiyam Hashem v'Yisrael. Right, a lot of people speak about this regarding inyanim of cheating. Cheating in terms of a person tries to do something, and yet even if a person cheats in a sneaky way, you know, he's not going to get caught. Still, there's a certain inyan of being clean, and also and again, even if a person's not cheating, not doing bad things, a person should always have that mindset because it's not about doing bad things. It's also about looking bad, meaning that a person shouldn't raise suspicion amongst himself. So I remember every time before Gemara test, my Rebbe used to say, don't even put me in a situation where I would think they're even cheating. Again, it's one thing, right? Obviously, a person shouldn't be cheating on a Gemara test. But also, meaning, my Rebbe explained to me that it's even one step further. A person shouldn't even cause the teacher to think that they are even cheating. And I think that's also pshat in terms of how the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, explains. That what's the yisod of v'hisem nekiyem v'Hashem v'Yisrael? That he explains that it's not enough to fulfill Ratzon Hashem in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather what? You have to prevent any chashash from other people from thinking that, hey, maybe you might be doing something bad, right? We speak about this a lot of times regarding not doing something because of Maris Ayin, and even Mikra Adin, something might be mutter, but still creating Maris Ayin, the fact that someone looks at you and is suspicious that maybe you might be doing something wrong, and which could potentially also create a Chil Hashem, that is something very, very wrong. Also, maybe if you read closely, I had the following ha'ara also. If you look closely in the Pesukim of the Parsha, this actually appears right next to Tanai Kaf, regarding the Pesukim of Tanai Kaf, regarding that we just mentioned the previous idea about Reuven Gad and Chati Menashe. And maybe one can make a ha'ara that maybe this is also a tnai. The fact that it's also that the Kimashem Yisrael is saturated within the sugya of tnai and tnai kafel is that maybe that this is etzem a tnai, that what the whole essence of Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael's existence is what is based is solely dependent on the nikias of ourselves. The fact that we're supposed to be carrying ourselves and holding ourselves to high standards, and again doing that which is right, and again doing it in a way in which in a non suspicious way, right? Fulfilling Ratzon Hashem, only doing good, not doing bad, and again not even causing others to think that hey, maybe we are doing bad. Meaning eliminating all types of suspicions, and this is, I think, just a major, major yesod in terms of a way a person is supposed to conduct his life. Again, it's one, right, one level in Achanam we're trying to do good, but also we have to do it in a way in which we are giving a positive vibe towards others around us who are watching. So these were three ideas which we spoke about in Parshas Matos. Again, the chashivas of Nedarim. The yisod of the Tanai Kafel, and last but not least, the yisod of the chiyuv of every Jew to have the midah of nekiyus. Yashar koach, everyone, and have a wonderful day.